Appendix L, Quality Surveillance. This appendix discusses general instructions and minimum procedures to be used in performing quality surveillance functions of petroleum products. Definitions. Quality assurance is a planned and systematic pattern of all actions necessary to provide confidence that adequate technical requirements are established, that products and services conform to established technical requirements, and satisfactory performance is achieved. Quality surveillance is the aggregate of measures, such as blending, stock rotation, and sampling, used to determine and maintain the quality of product receipts and government-owned bulk petroleum products to the degree necessary to ensure that such products are suitable for their intended use. Quality surveillance includes all the measures used to determine and maintain the quality of government-owned petroleum products to the degree necessary to ensure that such products are suitable for their intended use. Units conduct quality surveillance as part of receipt, issue, transfer, storage, and maintenance operations. Quality surveillance considerations. Fuel must be laboratory tested before and after government acceptance to make sure that it meets specifications. It must be clean and dry. A fuel is clean when it is free of suspended matter, sediment, and emulsions. A fuel is dry when it contains no undissolved water. A clean, dry fuel has a bright appearance without cloud, haze, or visible solids. Requirements. Commanders will implement quality surveillance programs for bulk petroleum in accordance with AR-710-2, DAPAM-710-2-1, and MIL Standard 3004-1-alpha. Commanders ensure an effective petroleum operational surveillance program is maintained to ensure safe delivery of acceptable fuel into vehicles, aircraft, and other military equipment. The quality surveillance program is established worldwide for both bulk and packaged products. This program applies to all bulk petroleum supplied by commercial sources under DLA Energy regional type contracts, procured locally or received from Army, other military services, or DLA Energy depot stocks. This program is conducted to ensure acceptable quality of product supplied from commercial sources directly to United States Army, ARNG, and USAR units. Maintain the quality of Army-owned petroleum products and containers. Quality surveillance, unless otherwise specified in the regulation, will be conducted on all bulk petroleum products and containers at the frequencies established in MIL Standard 3004-1-alpha, or more frequently if desired for closer surveillance or when directed by US APC. Commanders in theater establish a sampling schedule at the frequencies established in MIL Standard 3004-1-alpha, or more frequently if desired. The commander of the activity required to submit samples under this program will ensure that a petroleum supply specialist is assigned to take product samples and maintain a sample log for all samples submitted. The log will indicate assigned sample numbers, sample history, and test results. Bulk petroleum delivered through commercial vendors or drawn from other military services must be sampled and tested when the quantity exceeds 10,000 gallons annually. This applies to products received under DLA Energy regional type contracts, inter-service support agreements, DLA Energy depot stock, or from a defense fuel support point. Responsibility. The quality surveillance mission is to maintain the quality of petroleum products from point of origin to point of use. The quality surveillance program encompasses, but is not limited to, bulk fuel in waterborne carriers, tank cars, tank vehicles, pipeline systems, bulk storage, and packaged products. This includes inspecting, sampling, testing, handling, and performing preventive maintenance. The mission is also to recommend and assist in recovering, regrading, or disposing of products. Any unit or organization that has military-owned fuel in its physical possession is responsible for setting up and maintaining an adequate quality surveillance program. Each unit involved in petroleum refueling is responsible for ensuring the fuel meets specification requirements before it is pumped into its point of use. An effective quality surveillance program requires properly trained personnel. Commanders are responsible for establishing an effective training program to ensure that unit personnel who handle fuel and lubricants are proficient in proper sampling and testing procedures. Petroleum laboratory personnel are responsible for the operation and maintenance of laboratories to test all petroleum products in the command in a reasonable time. Information on Army Petroleum Lab operations can be found in TM4-43.31 and TM10-6640-264-10. Sample types and sampling procedures. A sample is a portion extracted from a total volume, which may or may not contain constituents in the same proportions that are present in that total volume. Bulk product samples can be taken from storage tanks, delivery trucks, intermodal containers, pipelines, barges, or tankers. Samples may be taken either manually, upper, middle, lower, bottom, composite, all level, or automatically, line, flow, proportionate. Types of samples. Samples are important because they are used to determine the type and quality of petroleum products. A sample is a small amount of petroleum which is representative of the whole product. The sample types are outlined as follows. All-level sample. An all-level sample is one obtained by submerging a stoppered beaker or bottle to a point as near as possible to the draw-off level, but above the free water level. Then opening the sampler and raising it at such a rate that it is about 70 to 85% full. In no case shall it be completely full, as it emerges from the liquid. All-level composite. An all-level composite sample is prepared by combining a number of samples and treated as a single sample. Line sample. A line sample is obtained from a designated location within the fuel system while the fuel is flowing. Flush the sample until at least the volume of the line has been drawn into a separate container before drawing the line sample. Nozzle sample. A nozzle sample is taken from a dispensing nozzle. Top sample. A top sample is taken 6 inches below the top surface of the tank contents. Upper sample. An upper level sample is taken from the middle point of the upper third of the tank contents. Middle sample. A middle sample is a spot sample taken from the middle of the tank's contents, a distance of 1/2 of depth of liquid below the liquid surface. Lower sample. A lower sample is one taken at the middle point of the lower third of the tank contents. Bottom sample. A bottom sample is one taken on the bottom surface of the tank, container, or pipeline at its lowest point. The drain and bottom samples are usually obtained to check for water, sludge, scale, or other contaminants. Spot sample. A spot sample is a sample taken at a specific location in a tank or from a flowing stream in a pipe at a specific time. Composite sample. A composite sample is a blend of spot samples mixed in proportion to the volumes of material from which the spot samples were obtained. Drain sample. A drain sample is one taken from the draw-off or discharge valve. Conveyance volumetric composite sample. A conveyance volumetric composite sample is a blend of individual all-level samples from each compartment of the ship, barge, or carrier that contains the same grade of product in proportion to the volume of product in each compartment. Tube or thief sample. A tube or thief sample is one taken with a sampling tube or special thief, either as a core or spot sample from a specified point in the container. Types of samplers. There are several different types of samplers used to take liquid petroleum samples. The weighted beaker sampler is a stainless steel beaker permanently attached to a lead base. A drop cord or brass-coated chain is connected to the stopper so that the sampler can be opened anywhere beneath the surface of the product. This sampler is used to take upper, middle, lower, or all-level samples of petroleum products at no more than 16 pounds per square inch reed vapor pressure. It is used to take samples from tank cars, tank vehicles, barges, ship tanks, and shore storage tanks. The bacon bomb thief obtains samples from storage tanks, tank cars, and drums using thief method. Plunger opens to admit the sample when bomb is lowered to the bottom or when plunger is released at any desired level. Plunger seals tight when bomb is withdrawn. The weighted bottle, glass cylinder, sampler consists of a glass bottle within a square weighted metal holder. A drop cord is attached through a ring in the stopper so that a short, quick pull on the cord opens the bottle at any desired point under the surface of the liquid. This sampler has the same applications as the weighted beaker sampler, but because of its wider mouth, can be used for sampling heavier products. Sample size. Sample size varies with product type and the type of test required. As a rule, liquid samples should be 1 gallon and semi-solid samples should be 5 pounds. Special sample sizes will be dictated by the laboratory. 2 1-gallon samples should be submitted when jet fuels are tested for full specification. Sample considerations. Specific information on standard sampling procedures are located in TM4-43.31, FTL18-01, Change 1, API Manual of Petroleum Measurement Standards, ASTM International D4057, and ASTM International D4177. Many considerations must be taken to ensure that samples are representative. The types of precautions depend on the type of products being sampled, the tank, carrier, or container, and the sampling procedure used. Each sampling procedure is suitable for a specific product under definite storage, transportation, and container conditions. Since a sample is used for determining physical and chemical characteristics of a product, the basic principle of each procedure is to take a sample in such a manner and from such a location in the tank or container that the sample will be truly representative of the product. All sampling equipment and containers must be clean, dry, and free of lint and fibrous material. Samplers and containers must be rinsed with a portion of the product being sampled. This is to make sure the product is not contaminated with a previous material. Rinse all cans to remove any soldering flux. Samplers must be cleaned immediately after use and then stored properly. Tank samples must not be drawn from storage tank cleanout lines, water draw-offs, bleeder valves, or hoses. These samples are not representative of the product in the tank. If a service station tank does not have a manhole or sampling hatch, take the sample from the service hose after discharging a volume of product approximately 2 times the capacity of the hose. A sample container must not exceed 90% of its capacity. If the container is filled to capacity, it may leak due to thermal expansion of the product. Do not use sealing wax, paraffin, rubber gaskets, pressure-sensitive tape, or similar material to seal containers. Crate light sample containers well so that they will withstand shipment. Samples must be placed in clean, dry cans or brown bottles to protect them from direct sunlight. Carefully handle all samples of gasoline and jet fuel that require vapor pressure tests. Cool these samples, if possible, to prevent the loss of light ends and volatile materials. Fuel samples may be collected in glass bottles if they are to be submitted for water and sediment tests to a local laboratory. Submit 1 gallon United States Department of Transportation approved metal sample containers for gasoline or aviation fuels, which will be shipped by a military or commercial activity. Sample identification. Each petroleum sample shipped to a petroleum laboratory for analysis must have a completed sample tag securely attached. The tag is DD Form 2927, Petroleum and Lubricants Sample Identification Tag, or other equivalent approved tag. DD Form 2927 replaces DA Form 1804, Petroleum Sample Tag. Information on the tag shall include the location of the facility at which the sample is taken, name of personnel taking the sample, grade of material, quantity represented, specification of material when known, storage tank number and location, date sample was taken, type of sample, and reason for sample. For turbine fuel electrical conductivity, in picosiemens per meter, PSM, units, results, specify tank ambient temperature and request correction of conductivity value to that temperature. Units are required to maintain a sample log to track quality surveillance for storage tanks, facilities, refueling systems and vehicles, and bulk deliveries. The sample log at a minimum contains the date sampled, name of person taking the sample, sample source, type of sample, date sample results are received, results, and a remarks block. Each sample shall be assigned a serial number that shall be determined by taking the calendar year as the prefix number and assigning consecutive numbers as the samples are submitted. For example, the first sample submitted in 2003 would be 03-1, the second 03-2, and so forth. Such sample numbers shall be shown on the sample identification tag and all shipping documents and correspondence pertaining to the sample. No person shall be permitted to draw a fuel sample unless they are thoroughly familiar with and can satisfactorily perform all required sampling as outlined in this section. The importance of good sampling techniques cannot be overemphasized. If a sample submitted for testing does not truly represent the sampled product, the value of the test is lost. Testing petroleum products. Quality surveillance testing represents the balance between good quality surveillance practices, cost of quality, and associated risks, and the need to confirm adherence to specification requirements through full specification testing. Only by thorough testing procedures can quality surveillance be maintained. units maintain quality surveillance by adhering to the sampling and testing requirements in accordance with MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha, DAPAM 710-2-1, and AR 710-2. A petroleum quality analysis team is part of petroleum groups, theater lab detachments, aviation support battalions, PSBs, and composite supply companies. These teams conduct analysis of petroleum products received and stored in operating units and provides area petroleum lab support as directed under field conditions. The team operates out of its PQAS-E. It ensures bulk fuel meets specified physical and chemical properties and conducts modified B2 level testing. MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha outlines the minimum sampling and testing requirements considered necessary for determining the quality of petroleum and related products. It covers the conditions under which a sample is taken, the type of sample, and the types of tests required to determine whether the quality is within acceptable limits. MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha outlines the minimum frequency for testing petroleum and related products by broad category. Since it is the responsibility of the cognizant quality assurance representative, petroleum officer, or supply officer to maintain strict quality surveillance, the frequency of testing may be increased as required. Considerations for increased testing are conditions of storage, age of stock, and type of product. When a long-term storage product is tested, a record of the results shall be maintained to provide a basis for determining product deterioration. Whenever consecutive results indicate possible deterioration, testing frequency must be increased. Once the trend reflects measurable deterioration, the reporting procedures in MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha shall be followed. This is especially important for a property such as color that presents no operational problem but may indicate possible deterioration. MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha provides a detailed breakdown of the type of tests required for each product class. These tests are those most likely to reveal contamination or deterioration, which may have occurred during product handling or storage. MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha designates service and NATO-prescribed B2 tests for specific products. When a product being tested fails to meet the specification limits due to contamination, the procedures outlined in MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha for identification of a non-conforming product and for its disposition are to be initiated. All terminals, commercial and military, receiving and storing bulk products must be equipped and capable of performing tests required by MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha. When the capability does not exist at the terminal or facility, other laboratories, either commercial or military, may be used. Fuel considerations. The quality and cleanliness of fuel is vital to the safe operation of aircraft and equipment. Fuel that does not meet the specification limits or intragovernmental receipt limit can have an adverse effect on military equipment, including a catastrophic effect on aircraft. Fine sediment in the fuel may block the engine fuel supply system and erode critical parts in the engine and fuel control systems. In aircraft, free water, water not dissolved in the fuel, may freeze at high altitudes and plug the fuel screens. This can cause the engine to flame out and possible loss of aircraft. Salt water is extremely dangerous because of its potential effect on certain aircraft systems. Also, contaminants must be separated out of fuel before the fuel can be pumped into the aircraft. Turbine engine filters cannot remove fine sediment, excessive amounts of sediment, or water from the fuel. Separating the contaminants from JP5 and JP8 is time-consuming and further complicated by their high viscosity and specific gravity. Sampling and testing of petroleum products must be done by trained personnel. No person must be permitted to draw a fuel sample unless he is thoroughly familiar with and can satisfactorily perform all required sampling. If a sample submitted for testing does not truly represent the sampled product, the value of the test is lost. All petroleum testing must be done by trained personnel. Only trained personnel may teach operators to perform API gravity, water detection, and particulate contaminants by color indicator / particulate rating method tests on fuel owned by their units. The color indicator / particulate rating method test is not a substitute for monthly laboratory filter effectiveness testing. Do not let untrained personnel conduct these tests. Trained personnel are available to make liaison visits and to give technical help to units they support. Fuel contamination hazards. Quality surveillance testing and sampling are used to find common contamination or deterioration hazards. The hazards that affect equipment are sediment, water, microbiological growth, commingled fuel, loss of additive, and formation of gum. Sediment. Sediment from tanks, pipes, hoses, pumps, people, and the air contaminates fuel. The most common sediments found in aviation fuels are pieces of rust, paint, metal, rubber, dust, and sand. Sediment is classified by particle size. See MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha. Coarse sediment consists of particles that are 10 microns in size or larger. 25,400 microns equal 1 inch. Coarse sediment settles out of fuel easily, and it can also be removed by adequate filtering. Particles of coarse sediment clog nozzle screens, other fine screens throughout the aircraft fuel system, and most dangerously, the fuel orifices of aircraft engines. Particles of this size also become wedged in sliding valve clearances and valve shoulders where they cause excessive wear in the fuel controls and fuel injection equipment. Fine sediment consists of particles that are smaller than 10 microns in size. Removing fine sediment by settling or filtering is effective only to a limited degree. Fine sediment accumulates in fuel controls and forms a dark, shellac-like surface on the sliding valves. It can also form a sludge-like material that causes fuel injection equipment to operate sluggishly. Particles of fine sediment are not visible to the naked eye, but they do scatter light. This light scattering property makes them show up as point flashes of light or as a slight haze in the fuel. Water, either fresh or salt water, may be in fuel. Water, fresh or salt, may be present as dissolved or free water. Free water can be removed from fuel by adequate filtering, or free water may separate and collect on the bottom of the container with adequate settling time. It can be seen in the fuel as a cloud, emulsion, droplets, or in large amounts at the bottom of a tank, sample container, or filter separator. Free water can freeze in aircraft fuel systems, which can cause the engines to fail. Dissolved water is water that has been absorbed by the fuel. It cannot be seen and cannot be separated out of the fuel by filtration or mechanical means. The danger of dissolved water is that it settles out as free water when the fuel is cooled to a temperature lower than that at which the water is dissolved. Such a cooling of fuel is likely at high altitudes. Once freed, all the dangers of free water are present. Microbiological growth. If there is no water in the fuel, microbes cannot grow. Microbiological growth is brown, black, or gray and looks stringy or fibrous. It causes problems because these organisms hold rust and water in suspension and act as stabilizing agents for water fuel emulsions. Microbiological growth in aircraft fuel is a reliable indication that the fuel filters have failed and that water has not been properly stripped from the fuel, or that the fuel storage tanks need to be cleaned more frequently. Fizzy in military jet fuel helps curb microbiological growth. However, it is still necessary to remove all water from aviation fuel and aircraft fuel systems. Commingled fuel. The inadvertent mixing of two or more different fuels is known as commingling. A fuel that has been contaminated by commingling with another petroleum product is extremely dangerous, whether in storage or in use, because there may be no apparent visual or odor change. This type of contamination is usually caused by carelessness or a misunderstanding of the operations of a fuel system. Due to the problem in detecting commingled fuels, you must be careful where two different fuels are handled in close association. Sampling and testing frequency. Frequency of sampling and testing of aviation fuels depends on several factors. It depends on whether the fuel is taken from a fuel source, a system or refueler, or an aircraft tank. Fuel from fuel sources. Identify aviation fuels before they are used to fuel aircraft. Each fuel source must be sampled, identified by visual check of the color and appearance, and then classified by the API gravity test. Sampling and testing will be performed by the supplying unit. Verification will be performed by the receiving unit through receipt testing. Fuel in a system or refueler. The fuel in a system or refueler must be sampled and tested daily for water prior to the start of refueling operations, and again when changing the filter elements of the filter separator on the system or refueler. Perform this test with the water detection test kit. The water detection test must be taken on a moving stream of fuel. Test system and refuelers during the daily pre-operational recirculation of fuel. Sample the fuel in a system when the pump is operating and at least one nozzle is open. This sampling and testing should be performed on the system by the parent unit before the system is deployed to a forward area. Laboratory testing. Laboratory testing ensures the fuel's quality meets specifications, that unknown products are identified, that existing or potential contamination causes are identified. Laboratory testing also ensures that unfavorable field test results are corroborated and that off-specification fuels are not used. Each using agency, installation, and unit submits petroleum samples to its supporting laboratory for testing by qualified technicians in accordance with AR710-2 and MIL Standard 3004-1-alpha. Fuel Classification, API Gravity Test. Each type and grade of fuel has a particular API gravity range. The API gravity test shows whether a fuel is actually what it is supposed to be. It is used hand-in-hand with visual examination. A visual check differentiates fuels by color. JP8/F24 are water white to straw yellow. Gasoline is clear to light yellow. Diesel, lime to straw to brown. And Avgas grade 100 low lead is blue. The API gravity test confirms the color identification. This test is necessary because the dyes used in fuels may lose color with age or when subjected to heat. API is a measure of how heavy or light a petroleum liquid is compared to water. If its API gravity is greater than 10, it is lighter and floats on water. If less than 10, it is heavier and sinks. API gravity is thus an inverse measure of the relative density of a petroleum liquid and the density of water, but it is used to compare the relative densities of petroleum liquids. Appendix J includes the API gravity ranges of common military fuels, an equipment list, and the procedures required to conduct the API gravity test. Water detection test. The presence of water in a fuel is tested with the Automotive and Aviation Fuel Water Detector Kit, commonly referred to as the AquaGlow Kit. Aviation fuels may not be used if they contain more than 10 parts per million, PPM, of water. The water detection test checks to see that the filter separator is working properly. If a reading is below the maximum allowable amount, 10 ppm, the fuel is within the limits prescribed by military specification. If the test shows more than 10 ppm of water in the sample, the fuel does not meet specification. This shows that the filter separator failed or that there is a malfunction in the system. Pre-operational checks, along with recirculation, should be performed again to ensure operator error was not the cause of the failure. After numerous failures, segregate the fuel, research the source of water in the fuel, submit sample to the laboratory, and contact USAPC. A passing water detection test is required daily from each fuel source prior to issuing fuel to aircraft. Procedures to perform the water detection test can be referenced in the Gammon Technical Products Operating Procedure Manual or appropriate TM. Fibrous material. Samples of fuel that are to be dispensed to aircraft should contain no more than 10 fibers when a 1-quart sample is visually examined. When more than 10 fibers can be seen, the filter or filter separator elements are not functioning properly. Recirculate and submit sample to laboratory for further testing. Filter membrane color ratings. Filter membrane color ratings are used to determine the quality of aviation turbine fuels, its particulate contamination. A method of determining particulate contaminant is ASTM International D2276. Sampling after aircraft accidents or incidents. Fuel samples are taken after aircraft mishaps by an accident investigating team appointed by the proper authority. See DAPAM 385-40 for investigation of Class A through E accidents or incidents as required as part of the Aircraft Accident Prevention Program. Combat losses are not considered accidents. Sampling from aircraft. Fuel and lubricant samples should be taken from the aircraft as soon as possible after the incident. To sample from aircraft, consider the use of the sampling kit assembled for this purpose. A 4-ounce sample of fuel from the aircraft tank is required. If the aircraft has tanks that do not flow into each other, take a sample from each tank. The sample should be checked for color, visible water, sediment, and contaminants. A 2-gallon sample should be used if the aircraft used jet fuel, clear to amber. If the aircraft operates with Avgas, green or light blue, draw a 5-gallon sample. Draw a 1-gallon sample of lubricating oil from the aircraft. All samples containers must be closed tightly and accompanied with a DD Form 2927. More details of sampling and tagging procedures are found in Appendix M and MIL Standard 3004-1-alpha. forward these samples to the appropriate petroleum laboratory in accordance with AR-710-2. Sampling from fuel sources. When sampling from fuel sources, retrace the fuel records of the aircraft and obtain information and collect the samples. Record the date of the last refueling before the incident, the system or number of the refueler, tank vehicle, and the name of the unit, organization, or supplier of the last refueling service. The results of the filter effectiveness and water detection tests of the refueler must be checked, as well as the records of the daily filter pressure differential readings. Contact the organization that provided the last refueling. Record the date that the applicable refueler, tank, or drum was filled and the bulk storage system from which it was filled. Contact the organization responsible for the bulk storage system. Record the date the fuel was received into the storage system and the supplier of the fuel. The bulk storage test results must be checked. If the fuel in storage has not been tested for 90 days, it should be retested. The storage tank records should show the daily water bottom checks and test results when products were received. A 2-gallon sample must be drawn from the refueler, tank, or drum that was used to refuel the aircraft. In addition, a sample from the bulk storage system from which the refueler, tank, or drum was filled must be drawn. Avgas considerations. All sampling and testing of avgas is to be performed by trained personnel in accordance with MIL Standard 3004-1-alpha. Avgas must pass through one filtration between the storage system and the consuming equipment. Sampling and testing of avgas. Upon initial receipt of bulk avgas, a 1-quart sample is required to perform a visual test for color, water, and sediment. The color must be the same as reported on the refinery test report, and there shall be no water or solids present. Protect the 1-quart sample from the sunlight and mark as retain after conducting the visual inspection. A 1-gallon all-level sample must be taken and sent to the area laboratory for specification testing. Every 30 days, a 1-gallon all-level sample must be drawn and forwarded to the area laboratory for specification testing. Prior to issuing avgas from any self-contained above-ground tank, SCAT, a 1-quart sample must be drawn from the dispensing nozzle, and a visual inspection for color and appearance must be conducted. For the collapsible fabric fuel tank or the collapsible fabric drums, samples will be conducted in the same process as with the SCATs. However, the sample must be taken downstream of the filter separator. Upon receipt of drummed 55-gallon metal drums, avgas, a 1-quart all-level sample and a 1-gallon sample must be drawn from a drum selected at random from each batch/lot. Samples will be conducted in the same process as with the SCATs. However, the frequency of the 1-gallon all-level sample is every 90 days as opposed to every 30 days with the SCAT. Field tests for contamination. There are several ways to check for product contamination in the field. Product temperature and gravity, visual checks, particulate contamination by color, and the water detection test all provide clues to product contamination. When a shipment arrives at a Class 3 facility, take the temperature and API gravity of the product. Determine the API gravity of the product. Gravity indicates uniformity of fuel more reliably than its quality. If the API gravity is out of range of that of the expected product, or if the difference at the same temperature is greater than 1/2 degree, do not unload the product until it is laboratory tested, as it may be contaminated. Visual checks are performed to view the proper color in a fuel, which indicates freshness and uniformity, but not quality. Look at the product carefully each time a transporter is loaded or unloaded. When the color is off, it does not necessarily mean the product is off specification. However, it may show contamination or deterioration that may merit further investigation. If the fuel is cloudy or hazy, it probably contains undissolved water. Particulate contamination may be determined using the color method/particulate rating guide in a field environment. Samples are checked against a color standard/particulate rating guide to determine if a product is suitable for use. This method does not replace the requirement to have active filter separators checked every 30 days by a laboratory. The particulate contamination test is performed using the Millipore test kit. The water detection test measures water in parts per million. Test results in excess of 10 parts per million indicate aviation fuel is not suitable for Army use. Laboratory tests. Laboratory tests ensure fuels meet specifications, identify unknown products, detect contamination, verify unfavorable field tests, and provide the basis for disposition of unacceptable fuel. Laboratory tests include, but are not limited to, distillation, gravity, corrosion, water tolerance, particulate matter, freeze point, vapor pressure, gum content, tetraethyl lead, and sulfur. Products shall be tested in accordance with the appropriate MIL Standard 3004-1 alpha table before entry into and after discharge from a pipeline. For pipelines carrying aviation turbine fuels and automotive gasoline, laboratory facilities shall be made available to perform identification tests on products at terminals along the pipeline system. Fuel must be tested by a laboratory when requested by petroleum offices. The quality of fuel is questioned or it cannot be classified. It is determined that the fuel may be contaminated or commingled. Do not use the suspected fuel unless laboratory tests prove it is usable. Commercial deliveries of bulk fuel are received and samples are required in accordance with AR710-2 and DAPAM710-2-1. Additional requirements for bulk petroleum products are detailed in MIL Standard 3004-1 alpha. Requirements for packaged petroleum products are detailed in MIL Standard 3004-2. Product reclamation and disposition. Reclamation is the process of restoring or changing a contaminated or off-specification petroleum product so that it will either meet specifications or will be within use limits. The process of reclamation, when properly applied, will result in downgrading, blending, purification, or dehydration. Reclamation may be recommended by the laboratory when products are identified or classified, or when contaminated or deteriorated products are analyzed. Reclamation techniques. Downgrading is the procedure by which an off-specification or slightly contaminated product is approved for use as a lower grade of a similar petroleum product. Blending for reclamation is the procedure by which an off-specification product is mixed with on-specification stocks to produce a product of intermediate grade or quality that is wholly within use limits. However, it is unlikely that an old product deficient in many of its critical properties could be brought within use limits. Unless all critical properties can be brought up to use limits, downgrading or other types of disposition must be considered. Dehydration is the removal of water by a filtering or settling process. Free water settles out of most light products if allowed to stand undisturbed for about 24 hours. Excess water can then be drawn off, and the water that remains, except dissolved water, can be removed by adequate filter separators. Warming residual products may help to break emulsions, permitting the water content to be removed as free water. Filtration or purification is the removal of contaminating agents by settling, filtration, or a filter separator. Coarse particles of dirt, mill scale, and rust settle out of light products if allowed to stand undisturbed after receipt. A minimum tank settling period of 2 hours is required for all aviation fuels, automotive gasoline, and diesel fuels after fresh stocks have been added. At least 24 hours is advisable for heavy products, such as burner fuels. In addition, the product should be subjected to visual or quality tests prior to issue. Fine particles can be removed by adequate filter separators. Disposition considerations. When a DLA-owned product does not meet specification limits at intermediate storage points, the activity having physical possession of the product will contact the DLA Energy for a decision about its use or disposition. When an Army-owned product does not meet the specification requirement or intragovernmental receipt limit at the location of use, the USAPC shall be contacted for a decision concerning its use or disposition. The request for disposition instructions should include the following information: specification and grade, quantity, location, date of receipt, name of manufacturer, contract number, batch number, qualification number, and date of manufacture, type of container or storage, accountable military department, need for replacement product, detail laboratory test results, recommended alternate use, disposition, or recovery measures, filter separators. It is mandatory recirculation through a serviceable and tested filter separator be performed prior to the first refueling of the day. Recirculation of fuel and filter separator inspection includes differential pressure checks and, if required, the water detection test to be performed. It is also mandatory to perform recirculation when a sample is required from filter separator or the nozzle, such as for the filter effectiveness test or type C testing. Filter effectiveness testing must be performed to ensure that filter separators are performing to standard in accordance with AR710-2 and DAPAM710-2-1. The filter effectiveness test is a snapshot in time that assesses filter separator performance on the date the sample was taken. Appendix F discusses how to conduct the filter effectiveness test. Water must be drained prior to use of any filter separator. It is mandatory recirculation through filter separator be performed prior to the first refueling of the day. When fuel is left in the dispensing hose at the end of the day's operation, it should be recirculated through the filter separator before operations resume. Note, the filter separator flow capacity must be equal to or greater than the pump rated capacity. If pump rated capacity exceeds the filter separator capacity, additional filter separators are required. Various numbers of filter elements and canisters are used in filter separators, depending on the flow rate of the filter separator. Multiple filter separators may be required to meet the required flow rate of the system. Filter separators must also be used on all lines pumping aviation fuel directly to aircraft or to vehicles that refuel aircraft. In addition, all fuel loaded into aircraft refueling vehicles must be filtered again before it is pumped to aircraft. Two filtrations are required to pump fuel into an aircraft. Fuel must be filtered going into the system/vehicle that refuels an aircraft, and it must be filtered again when it is issued to the aircraft. Any deviations to this requirement will be coordinated with USAPC. The following must be performed to keep filter separators serviceable and in good condition. Check the performance of all filter separators, regardless of product and service, every 30 days by submitting samples. The minimum sampling and testing requirements for petroleum products by the location of the stock is covered in MIL Standard 3004-1 Alpha. Send the samples to a designated laboratory. Filter separators not in use will be tested immediately before being placed in service, and every 30 days thereafter while in use. Change the elements when two consecutive samples fail for excessive particulate contamination or water. Ensure filter separator elements are changed every 36 months or when pressure differential gauge readings or laboratory tests indicate filter malfunctions. After coalescing/filtering elements are replaced, the filter separator vessel must be stenciled date changed with the month and year. Check the filters/separator sumps each day and drain any water. Check the accuracy of the pressure differential indicator or gauge annually. Keep a record of this check by marking the indicator and by keeping a logbook. Keep a daily record of pressure differential readings. Change the elements immediately if the pressure differential exceeds the limits listed in the appropriate TM for a refueling vehicle. After installing new filter elements, they should be checked for effectiveness by the supporting petroleum laboratory. Check new filter elements if there is no increase in the pressure differential after several months of operation. The elements may not be properly installed, or some may be ruptured.